Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. I'm delighted to welcome my guest today, Martin Jones, who is a chartered director, a seasoned non-executive director, chair and management consultant. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, we've known each other for a few years now, I think probably 5 or 6 years since we met. And I've been talking recently in one of my articles on, you know, the importance and benefits of the non-executive directors and people having a portfolio career. So I thought, well, who do I know pretty well that's been there and done that? And here we are having a podcast discussion. So we're going to get straight into the nitty-gritty, Martin. Why become a NED or a non-executive director?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a brilliant way of utilising your knowledge, your experience, your skills and your enthusiasm to help to steer an organisation and help it to fulfil its potential. It's a way to make a difference and feel part of a team whilst working to your own strengths. There are roles where you can't always say you're doing that.
Absolutely. And how do, for the benefit of any of the listeners or viewers who, you know, may not have come across the term non-executive director or may still be an exec and haven't sort of done that transition themselves, in your experience, how does a NED role differ from, you know, a sort of typical executive role, Martin?
Well, it's a good question. A lot of people don't know what a NED is. In a nutshell, as a NED, you have no managerial responsibilities. NEDs are very much eyes on and hands off in the business. I mean, a slightly fuller explanation may be helpful here. Directors of all kinds, executives and non-execs, are responsible for deciding the direction that the organisation is taking.
Yep.
It's losing the title, isn't it, of directors. And they're also responsible for agreeing the strategy to take it there. Now, executive directors, people like managing director, finance director, ops director, etc., are delegated responsibility for delivering that strategy. So they are both managers and directors. Now, as you can imagine, that has the potential to cause a conflict of interest. They're agreeing to actions that they themselves have to implement.
Yeah.
NEDs don't have that conflict, so a much better place to hold the executive to account for delivery and performance, which is actually one of their key roles.
Brilliant. Thank you for that sort of that introduction, really, to the NED role. In your experience, again, what would you say are the main benefits of having a non-executive director on a company's board, particularly, for example, in the manufacturing sector where the majority of businesses are SMEs? Some of them might be, you know, family-owned, you know, small businesses with just a handful of directors at most. But where do you see the sort of benefits of a, you know, an outsider, if you like, coming in a NED capacity into a manufacturing SME?
Well, I mean, you'd expect me to say this, but in terms of having a NED on the board, size doesn't matter. Large companies do it habitually. Large companies are obliged to do it.
Yes.
Smaller companies, not so, but you still get the same benefits. And the main benefit of having a NED on board is you get a director with lots of real life experience outside of your organization.
Okay. You know,
bring in a different perspective, fresh ideas, new contacts. And let's not dance around this, for much, much less than the cost of employing that person as either an executive director or a consultant. I mean, another benefit is that the NED is from outside and therefore able to question and sense check the executive directors or the owners, who understandably can only see a limited number of ways forward.
Yeah.
You only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. Plus, if your organisation is far-sighted enough to take on a NED with experience in other sectors, you can gain a major competitive advantage by utilising that NED's experience of best practice across sectors, which your competitors almost certainly don't have access to. I mean, some manufacturers have traditionally looked for NEDs from a manufacturing background. But if you stop to think about it, that's probably the last specialism you need.
Yep.
You're already experts, as are your competitors. So you can really steal a march by seeing what works well in other sectors and adapting it to benefit your business. I mean, as you know yourself, Jeff, manufacturing is a very competitive sector. So small advantages can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I really that what you just what you've just said really resonates, because with this whole, diversity of thought concept, that needs to run throughout businesses, but certainly in the boardroom, I think it's only by, bringing in, sometimes you can bring in executives from outside of the business to have a fresh impetus, a different way of thinking. But, if you're bringing in a non-executive director who may not be from your industry or sector, as you say, that can really give a broader set of skills and experiences to maybe draw from and help you move the needle a little bit, which can make, huge financial gains and differences for the business.
Yeah, I mean, each sector has its own way of doing things. Businesses are unique, of course,
Yeah.
but the manufacturing sector is a relatively small family. A lot of people know each other. They've moved from one business to another, and you can't help but end up doing similar things to each other.
Yep.
So to bring in a separate idea or something that's worked elsewhere, and to implement that can make a huge difference. And these are not necessarily big, complicated things. I very often find myself going, well, why don't you just try this? And of course, if you've never thought of it, you would never have tried it. So it's quite easy to get value out of the right Ned.
Absolutely. And as well as being a Ned yourself, you've also been a chair as well. So in a sort of chair capacity, how would you assess the impact of a Ned on the company's performance? I mean, I guess that's the sort of, there's a different dynamic there. You've got the chair, you've got the non-exec or a team of non-execs, and then the executive board. But how do you assess whether a Ned is adding value, moving you forward and helping the company, perform better?
Yeah, I mean, another good question. I mean, the possibly aren't metrics and indicators to measure NEDs specifically, but there are a number of good measures of effective board performance which cover all the directors. And as a chair, you're responsible for the performance of the board.
Absolutely.
So there's got to be a way of measuring it. It isn't just anecdotal or visual. Things like the clarity of the vision and direction of the company. How the board hold the executive to account for progress, how finance and risk are managed to enable delivery of the vision. They're all established board effectiveness measures, but there are other simple things like attendance, evidence of preparation for meetings. You know whether somebody's prepared by the way they respond and the questions they ask.
Absolutely.
Challenges and questions asked during the meeting. An engaged and switched on director, Ned or otherwise, will be asking questions. Neds are there to challenge. And also intangible things, like the amount of interest shown outside of the normal board meeting cycle. You might have a visit to the business, or you might spend time with the chief exec, or you might go and look how the frontline staff are actually performing and try and understand how things are for them to enable you to form your own opinion. So you can, as a chair, you can expect a Ned to score highly in all those things because, well, they're not distracted by the job of delivering the strategy or of managing staff. And also you'd be looking and as a Ned myself, and even as a chair, I'm a non-executive chair. So it's combining the two things. You've got to permanently consider how you maintain and demonstrate your independence, which of course is one of your fiduciary duties.
Absolutely. And it often makes me wonder, when people are transitioning from an executive role into a Ned role, how their listening skills may need to be fine-tuned before making that transition, because I'm sure, Neds are there and they need to, hold the board to account. But from what I've heard, I haven't been a non-executive director, but from lots of conversations I've had with execs and some NEDs, you've got to be listening a lot more than you are contributing to the discussion. So was that something that you found quite a natural sort of thing to do, or is that a common sort of hurdle, do you think, for people transitioning into a NED role?
Yeah, it can be. I suppose it depends on your starting point. I mean, I've done an awful lot of roles, including being a NED, where I'm also a mentor. Now, you can't be a mentor by speaking all the time. You've got to listen, and so I kind of got used to it. So personally, no, I didn't struggle. But it is a fair point that people do. It's perfectly natural to want to create the right opinion, the right impression. It's perfectly natural to want to contribute and be enthusiastic. But actually, as a NED, that's the worst thing that you can do. You have to listen. You have to build your own picture of what's going on. You have to form an opinion. You have to analyze the evidence in front of you. And then there is a time and a place to ask questions. And there are times when you have to ask quite robust questions, and it can get sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Jeff. Never a truer word. It's two-thirds listening, one-third speaking.
How would a NED sort of be able to influence, the sort of strategic decision making? Because it's sort of partly, they're there to hold the board to account, they're there to listen, they're there to try and help generate clear thinking and a good strategy. But from somebody from an outsider's perspective, when you've got different factions within the board, sometimes with competing agendas, dare I say that, how does the NED sort of, sort of get that sway of people's opinion or sort of willingness to buy in, to some part of strategy? Because that, I suppose, they have to be devil's advocate as well, don't they, really, with with more than a modicum of common sense and the business's best interest at heart at all times, I suppose. So that can be quite an awkward dynamic, can't it?
Well, it can. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that a boardroom is a battleground and a NED has to go in equipped with a suit of armor, because that really isn't true. Yeah, there are, just by virtue of the fact that you have senior people sat on a board, you do sometimes get big egos, and those egos can get in the way a little bit. It's the chair's job to manage those egos, and there are ways of doing it without actually shouting at people or slapping them down. But yeah, I mean, a good NED, you know all about recruitment, Jeff. If you recruit a NED the right way, you will get a good NED. There are some very good people out there, and a good NED can certainly influence strategic decisions. I mean, you've hopefully appointed them for their breadth of experience, so you would expect them to draw on that experience to demonstrate what can be possible and to offer ideas for how to achieve it. That tends to encourage a more ambitious plan for the business than was originally proposed, and very often a more robust strategy to deliver it, just because you've got different points of view going into that. It's not one faction trying to overcome another faction. It really is the boards work by collaboration,
Absolutely.
and sometimes that's harder to achieve than others, but boards work by collaboration, and they will only work by collaboration. The board is a team, and you have to work as a team. Not everybody in the team agrees, not everybody in the team always gets on, but you have to collaborate. I mean, you asked for an example. I worked as a NED with a company who manufactures specialist security equipment. Now, I don't know anything about manufacturing security equipment. That's not what I do. But they did. And so I drew upon my experience of all places of the water industry. And I was able to suggest an alternative way of structuring the business to achieve what they were trying to achieve. They hadn't thought of restructuring. And why would they? This was a small company. Why would they think? But I thought, this might just work because I'd seen it work before. So, and the board agreed. It wasn't a battle, the board agreed. And as a consequence, the company were able to increase production and reduce overheads. And as a result, profit increased. It was easy for me because I'd seen it before, but it was gold dust to them because they hadn't. And therein lies the value of a good NED.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think if we could distill down this conversation so far, I think that will probably be a brilliant sort of punchline or soundbite. That's a real golden nugget right there. Okay, so for somebody who might be looking to transition into a NED role, I guess there would be quite a lot of preparation needed by that individual over a period of time to get them in the right sort of position or mindset, or have the right sort of skills, probably more sort of soft skills than sort of technical skills. But what does that journey look like? I mean, some people might transition quite naturally quickly, and they're lucky enough to do that. Others might need to work on themselves a bit to be able to make them more conducive to being a NED. So is there any sort of generic advice that you would give to somebody maybe who's in an executive role who would like to carve out a portfolio career and become a NED? What sort of preparation do you think they need to sort of undertake?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It won't surprise you to learn that it's something that I'm often asked, how to start and what organizations are looking for. I mean, sometimes organizations are looking for particular specific skills. For example, they might be looking for somebody with accountancy qualifications, or they might be looking for somebody who's
Sure.
got experience in exporting to South America, etc. But that's usually because they have a specific short-term need. It's not usual. I mean, it's not uncommon either, but it's not usual. It's far more usual to find companies who are looking for someone who can easily understand and relate to what the organization's trying to achieve and who has experience of having achieved it somewhere. The main qualities of a NED are not really around the hard skills you mentioned about listening. This is more what you would term soft skills. But the main qualities of NED are thinking independently. You've not got to just try and fit in and go along with what everybody says and thinks. You've not got to accept what you're told all the time. You have to think independently. That is one of your fiduciary duties, but it is vital that you're able to do that. You've got to be able to challenge respectfully. Standing up there and bawling at somebody and telling them you don't agree is never going to work. It doesn't work in life. It doesn't work on the boardroom. You've got to be able to challenge respectfully. You've got to ask questions, but not for the sake of it. There's no point just speaking for the sake of it. You've got to question with genuine curiosity. You've got to question because you want to know something. And if you don't get the answer that explains in the way that you can understand, you've got to keep asking. You've got to be the kind of person who is prepared to just keep asking daft questions until you get to the level that you can understand, because otherwise you can't possibly help make the right decision. And you've also got to have the ability to not lose sight of the end goal. It's really easy to drift off. You know this in not just in boardrooms, but in operational meetings. It's really easy to get off on a tangent, and you've not got to allow yourself to do that. So it's more about an attitude and a frame of mind, as you said. It's okay to ask why particular approaches are used, for example. It's okay to question, well, why are we doing it that way? Why did you consider that was the thing to do? What have you done so far? And it's okay to suggest alternatives. Have you considered this? Would you not consider that? Is it practical for us to look at this, for example? But it's not okay to instruct or interfere. It's not okay to say, no, you should be doing that. Because whilst the board technically do employ the executives, that isn't why you're there. And you've got to always remember that what I said at the beginning, it's very much eyes on, hands off. And that's difficult if you've always been hands on. So aspiring NEDs, aspiring directors, if they're used to actually being there and doing it themselves, and a lot of NEDs are hugely experienced and have been there and done it themselves, I certainly have. It's sometimes really hard just to take a step back and stop yourself from saying, look, this isn't that difficult. Why don't you just do this? Because tempting though it is, that's not your job.
So more
That's
of an
another way of saying,
observer.
completely. I mean, you're there as in the role of a critical friend. You're not there to tell people what to do. But as for where to start, well, there's a clear catch 22 situation here, because how can you evidence the required NED skills at an interview if you've never been a NED? Well, thankfully, there's a simple answer to it. You just volunteer. There are lots of voluntary board roles as trustees of charities, of trustees of multi-academy trusts, or even consider becoming a school governor. In my experience, all of those roles welcome input from a business perspective, and all are actually real NED roles, but with a different name. People don't think of them because they're called something else, but they are. And schools and multi-academy trusts even have the same subcommittee structures as larger commercial companies. So it is exactly the same. You're not paid for it, but it's an opportunity to hone your NED skills whilst helping someone else and learning at the same time. And I promise you that that experience is completely transferable.
Yeah, absolutely. And you quite often hear about people doing pro bono contracts. Well, not call them contracts, but pro bono, either NED roles or like you say, trustees. Whether that's in the local community or you gave a good example there with schools and things like that. The governors. So somebody that's sort of in industry looking to make that NED journey. Probably, unless they're very lucky, right place, right time, and they know somebody who's prepared to, trust them in in this different capacity. Probably good to get out there and cut your teeth in an environment where it's probably not related to what you're currently doing, but where your wider business skills can add value to that other organization. So that the sort of I'm thinking now of networking and the networking skill set. Some people are natural at it, some people hate it. I'm sort of it part way in between there. That's been a journey for me. But I think if you're looking to develop a career as a NED, networking is going to be vital, isn't it, to get the enough connections in different circles, different businesses, because recruiters aren't always going to be able to find you a role that's right for you as a NED. NED roles are quite a, they're very niche, aren't they? They're not run-of-the-mill roles. They're not permanent. They're not full time. So having a whole range of your own contacts and network can lead to, sort of finding these sort of NED opportunities. Is that how it's worked for you in the past?
Yeah, you're dead right, Jeff. I mean, sometimes you can drop lucky. I mentioned earlier about if an organisation's looking for a specific skill and you happen to have that specific skill, then it will leapfrog a lot more experienced people just because you have what they need. But those are few and far between, to be fair. Having a good network of contacts is essential in any role, really. But it's especially true if you're aspiring to be a NED. Meeting with other more experienced NEDs gives you insights you wouldn't see otherwise. And almost without exception, experienced NEDs are happy to give advice and encouragement.
They're
Yes.
happy to offer support and to enable you to make contact with them. I have people who contact me, just wondering what you would do about this. Well, how else are you going to learn? You've got to ask somebody who's been there and done it, because the only other way of learning is the expensive way of getting it completely wrong. So, having a good network is very good. And of course, experienced NEDs might also be able to help you by giving you some of their own contacts, giving you access to some of their contacts. So it's amazing. I mean, I did smile, and I know you can't see a smile on a podcast, but I did smile because when you said about networking, the term is misused. Networking is making connections and building a network that is mutually beneficial. It is not about having coffees with a lot of people who are just trying to sell you their services. And there is an awful lot of that out there. Yes, isn't there just?
I mean, for myself, I've built up a brilliant network through attending events and webinars and courses, very often run by the Institute of Directors. Now, within the IOD, not everybody are members, and in fact, not all members are NEDs, and some aren't even directors. But some are, and all the business people. And so you're meeting with people who have experience, who you can learn from. And that makes for a really good supportive network. And you never know when you're going to need that. I mean, I don't want this to sound like a plug for the IOD, but the IOD's director training is world class. And you meet other aspiring NEDs as well as more experienced NEDs on those courses. It wasn't just the content that I learned from when I did all those courses to become chartered. It was also from the people who did the courses with me. I learned an awful lot. But I should stress, going back to my comment about networking against networking, wherever you choose to build your network, you should value your own time and be selective about who you give it to. There are a lot of time eaters out there.
Valuing your own time is, well, it's a critical business skill, isn't it? So that's a really good point. Thank you for that. Okay, so in terms of, the advantages for an individual of pursuing what we all know as a portfolio career, Martin. So you might have a couple of NED roles that you undertake for businesses. You might have a trustee role for another organization. You might be a chair somewhere else. I mean, this whole concept of having a portfolio career, to me, when I look at it, I think, well, crikey, what a lot of variety. And I suppose the experiences from one role and one organization set of circumstances could help you in a in another one. But overall, what would you say the main advantages of somebody pursuing a portfolio career?
Well, you're absolutely spot on with your question. I mean, the main advantage of working with more than one organisation is that it broadens your perspective and enables you to be even more valuable. It allows you to bring additional insights from another area or another sector, which otherwise even you wouldn't have had. So you find that problems and challenges across sectors are remarkably similar, and it's hugely rewarding seeing how you can apply your knowledge, your skills, and your experience in something completely new to you and still miraculously make a difference.
You just mentioned some of the sort of challenges. I mean, from your own NED career or portfolio career perspective, are there any sort of typical pitfalls, or is there anything that you could think, oh, crikey, yes, this happened, a few years ago when I was doing this NED role? Anything you'd like to share that would be a really good steer away from that issue for somebody who, might be wandering into that challenge unbeknowing.
Well, I guess we have touched on some of them. I mean, it's very much an individual thing. It depends on the organisation you're going with. But the single biggest challenge, and this is something that any NED or aspiring NED will recognise, the single biggest challenge to being a NED is joining an organisation that's new to you, or shouldn't be a NED if you're familiar with the organisation. I mean, you're working with a new board with a new CEO. in a new organization, possibly a new sector, and you've got a new culture and new dynamics. And like any new job, you always want to try and get up to speed and fit in quickly. It's just how we all are. That is always a challenge. How do you fit in? How do you do this? How do you make yourself appear to be valuable as quickly as possible? The truth is that nobody expects you to be up and running on day one. If you've come in from outside, they expect you to spend a bit of time to learn. And that's actually how I always try to get around that. I try and spend time with the chief exec, with the chair, with the senior executives to try and confirm what it is they're wanting to achieve. I know they've told you something on the job advert. I know they've mentioned it at the interview, but there's always far more to it than that. It's always deeper than that. And part of your role as a NED is to make your own mind up. So you've got to spend time with these people and work out what is it that you're trying to achieve. And sometimes that's not even what is it that the organization's trying to achieve. It's what is it that you personally are trying to achieve. Because if you can help individual people achieve what they want by achieving the organization's goal, you're doubly valuable. And it makes life easier too. So I spend time to confirm what they're wanting to achieve and also their perceptions of how long they think the journey is. Because sometimes that's realistic and sometimes it isn't. I also ask to spend time with frontline staff to see for myself how the organization works in practice. And that enables me to form my own opinion of what the challenges are. You know yourself, Jeff, you're very experienced in this field. If you ask people the right questions, they'll tell you the truth. And sometimes what they think is the truth actually isn't, but it's their perception. And as a new board member, it's kind of handy to know what the staff think is happening with the company, because that sometimes gives you a steer as to how you can help. I mean, initially that approach admittedly is a high investment in your time. But to me it's worth it because ultimately it pays dividends in enabling you to be an excellent NED.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the modern world that we live in, I mean, non-executive directors have been around for decades and decades and decades and decades. With modern technology and with things like AI coming right into the forefront, most people now, Google even seems like it's an elder statesman now. You've got ChatGPT, there's AI and all this sort of stuff. And I suppose there's certain expertise that you can get from going on a course and gaining some really great qualifications. The internet is littered with things, like Google, AI, and all these sort of things, where you can, feed in any sort of questions and just get information churned out to you. But I see myself, I see executive roles and non-executive roles. These are things that are never going to be taken away by automation, are they? Because when you're supporting a board or you're supporting a chair or a CEO, there needs to be that personal relationship because you're sort of not necessarily the right arm of the chair or the CEO, but you need to be able to measure their feelings sometimes. You need to, have that empathy, and just doing a Google search or using some sort of AI, and there's some really clever things around, as we know, but just sense checking what you think you should do as a strategy or what you might need to do in a certain executive business scenario, I think that needs to come from another human who's been there and done it rather than a sort of textbook AI generated answer, don't you? So I think that the future's safe for non-execs and executives. We're going to have lots more automation in factories, and we need that, particularly in the UK, because the productivity is really low and we've got the skills gaps and everything. But, in terms of leadership, we still need humans, and we will do for some time, won't we?
Completely agree with you, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, there are some things that businesses or any organization should be looking at how they can utilize AI to support what they do. AI isn't a new thing, it's been around a long time now. It's getting better and it's getting more widespread. But forward-looking businesses are looking at how they can utilize AI, and that's the right thing to do. There are some things, some processes, some of the things that you do, AI can do every bit as well. But you're right. When it comes to leadership, and that's essentially what a board role is, it's leadership. To be a leader, you have to have followers, and nobody follows AI.
That's right.
You know, it is very much a human thing. It's a collaboration thing. It's a teamwork thing. You can learn skills. You can automate processes, but that human thing, that's really what makes the company work, and it's what gets you out of a hole if things are going wrong. It's also what makes you feel so good when things are going right.
So we've had a great discussion so far. It's been absolutely insightful. I always love talking to experts about their field. And you've had a a successful career. I wanted to know, I was curious as to whether there was any one particular aspect of the work that you've done as a NED, that sort of gives you that sort of greatest sense of achievement and what sort of legacy do you hope to leave in the companies that you work with?
Yeah, well, thanks for that. That's a difficult one to answer. I mean, you're right. I mean, I've been very fortunate. Well, maybe I haven't. You know, nobody's fortunate for 25 years, are they? So I guess there's an element of making your own luck. But I have been fortunate in that I've had opportunities presented to me. Okay, maybe the bit that I'm responsible for is I've always grabbed those opportunities with both hands. But yeah, I have. I've had a very varied career, and we're all a product where we've been. I mean, what I do now, without doubt, the most rewarding aspect is being able to work to my strengths and seeing that it makes a real difference and is valued. That particular novelty never wears off. Yeah, in terms of legacy, in terms of what I would like to, because I won't always be doing this, you know, even I'll have to stop sometime. As for my legacy, my approach has always been to lead by example, to teach and to mentor, so that the thought processes and good practice carry on even after I've left. So I'd love to think that I'd help to create some superb leaders for tomorrow.
And that's a what an excellent way to end the discussion. What a fantastic end point. Brilliant. Well, Martin, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for joining me for this discussion. We'll have further talks as we usually do from time to time. But for now, that brings us to the end of another episode of Insights for Manufacturing. Thanks again to Martin Jones. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Insights for Manufacturing.